We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What is Christ's mission for His church? I mean Christ's mission. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that today we may examine our hearts carefully to really ask the question, what is the mission of Jesus Christ for His church? God, we know that sometimes that can become very foggy, and we can send the church off on all kinds of missions, many of them very good, but not necessarily your primary mission for the church. So speak to us this day through your word, both read and preached and sung. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 28th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. It begins with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Gospel for this day.
Sacred head for such a world.
friends in Christ. Waiting to find out what is going to happen next in your life can be very frustrating. Some time ago, I was talking with a person who had gone through a very difficult surgery. And in the visit, I asked him, "What was the most difficult part of the major operation for you?" And without batting an eye, he turned around and said, "Just waiting for the surgery to get started." It was a lot harder thinking about it than it actually was going through it and convalescing. Well, the disciples had something of this same experience in that period after Jesus' resurrection. If you listened to my sermon last Sunday, you will recall that I mentioned they seemed to be running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They had no idea what was going to happen next. And finally, one day, Peter got so concerned about his mental attitude that he said, "I'm going to go fishing." And a half a dozen of the disciples said, "Well, we're going to go with you," not knowing what to do next. 50 days was a long time. And it was 40 of those days that, except to see Jesus occasionally, they had no idea what they were going to do. Oh, that is not quite right. God had said to them, "You're going to be builders of my kingdom." But they had a lot of questions in connection with that statement. What would their specific role be? To whom would they go? Where were these people? Were they right there in Jerusalem, in Judea? Might they get out into Galilee? There was no update from God as to when all of this was going to begin. But then suddenly there seemed to be some marching orders. Jesus had appeared to them, no question about that, during those 40 days after the resurrection. He was there to convince them that he was alive. But now they were getting some action. And if you turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of Acts, you read words like this, beginning with verse 4, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptizing, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" Now they were beginning to get some answers to their questions. "Don't leave Jerusalem," he said. And they were on the Mount of Olives, as far as I'm able to interpret. It was about a 3/4 mile walk from the Mount of Olives to downtown Jerusalem, where they seemed to have their headquarters. It was at that time that Jesus also had ascended into heaven. Right when they were standing there, and he was speaking to them and saying, "You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, and you're going to receive power." And Matthew then picks up another part of it, and he says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Now they were really beginning to get some concrete, specific directions. The mission was beginning to be very clear to them. In an exciting fashion, they did what the Lord told them to do. They walked that 3/4 mile back to the center of Jerusalem, and there they had to finish some unfinished business. They had to elect one to take Judas's place, and the lot fell to a person by the name of Matthias. They were now going to be used by God. Notice what they had found out. They were going to reach people with the gospel. In other words, theirs would be a teaching and a preaching ministry. They were to go out and to tell the story of Jesus Christ. They were to go out and say that you are sinners. But Jesus Christ has come into this world. And by his suffering and his death and his glorious resurrection, he has paid the price for your sin. And if you will repent of your sins, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, entrust yourself to him, he will grant you the forgiveness of all of your sins. That was the gospel, and they were to proclaim it. And if you want to follow that through a little bit further, begin to read in the book of Acts. It was only a few days later that James and John were standing in the city of Jerusalem at the temple and were finally put into prison because they were what? They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered and died for you people. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be restored into fellowship with God, then it is necessary for you to repent, these two disciples said, and you will be his forever. They had also found out that they were going to get power. A few days before that, those men would not have had the courage to do that. But Jesus had said to them right there, just before he ascended into heaven, and I am going to be raised up, but you will receive power. And St. Paul had put it so well, you're going to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and I'm going to make my appeal to this world through you. And notice this, you're not only going to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, but you're going to go to the far corners of the earth. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Everyone. You will be my witnesses not only in word, but also in deed. That was the mission given to them 2,000 years ago. And my friends, on this Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or whenever you listen to this program, I want you to know on the basis of the Word of God, it is still the primary mission of the church. And when we depart from that primary mission of the church, we cease to function as Jesus Christ wanted us to do. Now, what has happened? What has happened? We have the mission. We know specifically what we are to do. What has happened? From time to time, we would depart from it. From time to time, we would say, well, is this really true? And we'd begin to get some funny interpretations of what Jesus Christ had really said. And the church moves away. And then you have to have a reformation. Now, I tell you, people, there needs to be an ongoing reformation. Early in the church, with the church fathers like Ignatius and others like him, there were all kinds of heresies that came to be. The constant conflict with these heresies, and heresies means wrong teachings, soon led the leaders at the church to formulate a brief summary of the essentials of the Christian faith, and the Apostles' Creed came into being. It is not believed that it was necessarily written by the apostles, but it was in that period of time, or shortly thereafter, that the church had to collect a statement of the essentials so that the church could see, this is what I must teach, this is what I must believe if I want to be ministering in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I thank God that I belong to a church that uses that confessional statement on a very regular basis. For therein are the essentials of the Christian faith and the mission of that congregation, every single one that bears the name of Jesus Christ, is to proclaim that word in its truth and in its purity. And if it is not proclaimed, then that person who teaches contrary to that should be dismissed, excommunicated. In love, sure. For what purpose? To try to help him as far as his own personal relationship with Jesus Christ is concerned, but also that the society of which we are a part may know what Christianity is truly all about. We move to the 16th century. Here again you run into a bundle of heresy. Human beings had set aside the Word of God, and they had said, you know what? It's possible for you to have the forgiveness of your sins by buying an indulgence. In other words, with dollars and cents or the equivalent, you could buy your way into the kingdom of God. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so it took the reformers like Martin Luther and John Calvin and others who followed behind them to say again and again, your salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that has not changed from the day that Jesus Christ walked among us on this earth. And wherever that primary teaching is disturbed in one way or another, the voice of that must be quieted as far as being a part of the church is concerned. There is a need for an ongoing reformation in the Church of Jesus Christ, for the wrong teachings, the heresies, continue to present themselves and we depart from the Word of God. We are human beings. I need the Word of God. I need the confession to the church to tell me when some of my screwy ideas are not according to what God wants. I have a good friend. He's still a good friend who at one time was a very evangelical Christian. Today, you know what he believes? He believes that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. But he believes that when he died, he died for everyone, which is true, and therefore everyone is saved. That is not true. For the Word of God says clearly that those who believe are saved. The price has been paid, no question about that. But you and I, empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, have to receive Jesus Christ. This heresy is what is known as Christo-universalism. Now let a pastor believe Christo-universalism and he gets into the pulpit on Sunday morning, what in thunder does he have to talk about? Everybody he's talking to is saved. And then we take that a little bit further and we say, if you've been baptized. Now Jesus did say that we were to go and baptize him. Baptism is his sacrament and we thank God for the baptism whereby we enter into the kingdom of God, but we can walk away. And on a Sunday morning, when I used to preach to a couple of thousand people in the congregation that I served, I knew good and well that many of them who had been baptized had walked away and they needed to be returned to the faith, and that is what you call a conversion. The mission of the church is to bring people back to Jesus Christ. And that heresy that departs from there must be dealt with, and we haven't been dealing with it very well in the last few generations. And the results of that is that those churches in mainline Protestantism that wanted to let up a little bit to put in their own interpretations on the Word of God have not shown very much growth, not even in numbers. I sometimes wonder, when you take it away from clergy and to the professional teachers of the church, I sometimes wonder, what are our children hearing in the Sunday school? There was a day when we had what we call monthly Sunday school teachers meetings. We gathered all the Sunday school teachers. We went over the lessons and the emphases for those children on a given Sunday. Today, we just beg people to come and teach, and we have no understanding at all what they are really teaching and what's going on in that classroom. That's pretty serious, friend. That is not doing the mission of the church. But where the church is still faithful to those marching orders, it is growing by leaps and bounds. It is dynamic. God has given us the marching orders. Teach, baptize, go and tell the world. That's what the church on the corner is all about. That's what the cathedral churches should be all about. And if they were proclaiming those truths, many of them would not be as empty as they are. The writer of the book of Hebrews makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change, nor does his marching orders to the church change. So the frustrated believers of those first 40 days after the resurrection were beginning to get excited and organized. 10 days later, that's Pentecost, and that'll be next Sunday, you see that church was empowered with the Holy Spirit, and it went out and did the work of the Lord. Now, we can't convert anybody, and we can't build this kingdom, but we can be the agents who go. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, great things can happen. The church is not dead as long as it holds dearly to the mission it has been given by Jesus Christ, our crucified but risen Savior. Amen. Father, we thank you for the blessings that so many of us have received from the church, where Sunday after Sunday we have heard that glorious message proclaimed. We have entered the kingdom through baptism, but we have been fed, we have been nurtured well. And when we walked away, we were brought back by the power of the Holy Spirit as that word was proclaimed to us. Oh God, we pray that there may be that ongoing reformation in the church. Grant, O God, that we may not think we are so wise that we can go beyond or negate some of these marching orders. Forgive us our sins, and grant, O God, that those who lead us may be faithful to your word, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. Each gift helps us proclaim the gospel message. We thank our listeners for your generous support. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed, and you can listen to past sermons at oneplace.com. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.